Hello, and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I guarantee that this episode will definitely, absolutely be completed and fully released on time, no patches or delays necessary. And with me, I have...
That's the sound of Rolling Loud not caring about wrestling. They did not care one bit. Enjoy the silence.
And
yeah, you know what, M. Night, you should not do a rap battle pick or at least anything of rap because wow, you can't pick a worse rap name than most rap names existed.
Mid-sized sedan. I mean, to be fair, is it really that much more off base than names like, I don't know, Guap Dad 4000? Or, like, fucking half the motherfuckers on the Rolling Loud lineup.
Okay. Well, you're there, but... I don't know, but this doesn't sound too fucking wordy. I mean something called Little Beamer. At least that sound... it sounds stupid, but it sounds less dumb than this.
I'm pretty sure, you know, Midsize Sedan is gonna get his own sequel where he gets into a rap beef with Hummer H2. I mean, look, do I look like someone who watches M. Night Shyamalan movies? Thankfully not. I learned my lesson after Last Airbender.
I think everybody did.
Yeah.
Or at least till they got the whole thing with, oh, it's Glass Up Again, then Split, or was it Split, then Glass? I forgot.
Glass.
Okay, it's like Split was like, oh, we like him again, then Glenn was like, nah, forget it, we fucked up again. Sort of.
Yeah.
Inconsistency is a very consistent part of M. Night Shyamalan.
And how. Anyway, here we are, episode 231. How's everyone's week been going?
Long. 10 days without a day off is a very long stretch, which meant that a certain thing I'm trying to write out has to get pushed back because it's hard to work when all you want to do is just go to bed after you get home from work for 9 days straight. But that thing will get done when it gets done. But yeah, in the meantime, I saw that Woodstock 99 documentary on HBO. Surprise, surprise, Michael Lang and John Shearer are still completely full of shit. Yeah, because in the closing moments, they're going, oh, it wasn't that bad. Most everyone else had a good time. MTV's just making us look bad. No, it was a disaster, and you all know it.
Yeah, how dare MTV make this festival look bad by accurately reporting the things that were happening? No, see, those giant fires are just barbecue. It's totally fine.
Yeah, you do not disrespect the name of Kurt Loder like that, but... Yeah, it's an insightful watch. Some of the details are a little uncomfortable, but that's what you'd expect from something like that. Why were you all so angry in 1999? You all had it so good.
Better than we have it now, but at the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have inflation back then.
Or coronavirus.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was a coronavirus, but it wasn't the coronavirus.
We call it Limp Bizkit, but, you know, whatever. Let's see. What else have I been getting up to? I got some new earbuds that I'm actually wearing right now. They are in-ear monitors. They are KZ... Let me pull them out here. KZ ZSN Pro. $22 on Amazon. They are a Chinese brand, but they're actually, you know, quality. So, you know, you're actually getting really good material out of this. A lot better than, I would say, triple-digit costing wireless earbuds. So, yeah, they sound good. And let's see. Oh, yeah. I'm going to San Francisco in December.
Wow, for what?
Ooh.
Metallica is doing a big old 40th anniversary celebration with two shows at the Chase Center in San Francisco. They had a thing where if you are signed up for their online fan club thing, whatever, you can get entered to get randomly drawn for first dibs of tickets. I got first dibs of tickets. I spent 5 minutes on Ticketmaster. I got a really good seat. Do not ask me how much this is going to cost me between the tickets and getting a flight to San Francisco and getting a hotel room. Do not ask me. I will not tell you. But the wheels are in motion. I'll be headed to San Francisco in December. I'm very excited. Mostly because I'll actually be able to actually do something for the first time in God knows how long.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, so that'll be a good way to end the year.
Nice, nice. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Not much. That check was on Netflix, and hey, I finally catch up on Beastars Season 2. In short, yes, it's good. It's very good. It's very great. It's much of a step up from the first season. It's still a pretty good watch. Thankfully, I catch up on Netflix at the finish it. Considering there's this one misstep that happened, like, you know how a couple weeks ago when I did the whole Amazon thing, I got Disney Plus for free for 3 months? Turns out, I forgot that when I got that, I canceled Amazon Music.
Meaning
that deal got canceled as well. I forgot about that. I thought, I should have stuck with it. And so I say, fuck it. It's like, fuck it, I'm gonna get the Disney Plus Hulu thing, whatever, for 10 bucks for 3 months. Which, fuck it, I canceled Netflix, so why the fuck not? That happened, that's it. And you know what's the most interesting? The only thing I saw is. Most thing I saw is though Toasted got Danny Brown on there. On their show last night.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh shit. I know. He followed them for me, for some time. I was like, yeah. I have to see this. I have to see this, my week's been just usual with some shit, but yeah.
Yeah, and as for me, well, let me try to paint a picture for some of you out there. Any of the fellas out there, anybody that possesses the family jewels, as it were, I want you to imagine someone stepping on them. Not like a stomp, but like someone slowly and yet deliberately pressing their foot down on them over and over. Kind of like you're working the gas and brakes in your car very steadily for a period of about 16 hours. And you'll know what I felt the entirety of Friday when I apparently passed a goddamn kidney stone.
Fuck! Ow!
That's gotta hurt.
Very much so, yes. I had to leave work early because I literally could not concentrate on a goddamn thing. God fucking damn. So yeah, that was a fun discovery to make. I would say, hopefully I never have to deal with that again, but apparently if you have one, then there's a non-zero chance you might have another in like the next 10 years. I looked it up, so... Oh boy, I'm looking forward to round two. Fucking son of a bitch. At least the Woodstock documentary was, entertaining and, removed my mind from the pain just a tiny bit. The best part for me is the ending stinger when Michael Lang says, "Oh, could there be another Woodstock festival? Never say never." And then he gives the biggest bullshit smile to the camera, and the documentary immediately cuts him off with, "Oh, well, you see, there was going to be a Woodstock 50, but then unforeseen setbacks happened." Yeah, unforeseen. Sure, that's what you want to call it. But, that was fun to watch. And, nothing else aside from the pain and the entertainment. So now it's about time for us to move on to, the usual weekly business of this podcast. Of course, starting with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description below so you can follow along and pick up some new tunes to jam out to. And, look at the time. Once again, it is Griselda O'Clock.
Oh, it's early, huh?
Yeah. Never get a break, do we?
Yeah, no. Number three got this one-off track, although this goes related, the main artist is someone by the name of Brady Watt, which I think is a music producer. The single we got is from West Side Gun and DJ Premier on there, and it's called The Narcissist. And gotta say, it starts off very slow, with like piano going in with West Side rapping the way he always raps like if you give it this like yeah you kind of know what he goes but yeah I think like this know being honest like you know like basically like, I think from looking for the videos which I guess like, he gave him guess like he let the rap light like let the rap light and. And basically a whole bunch of shit always says. The song itself, it's fine. Like you do get drums later on with the recenter DJ Premier scratches and shit, which of course is real good. And of course you get some worse sound of lyrics you get from West Side Gun as usual. And the video's interesting too, although the video got like. It's more like art drawn type of shit animation or at least art whatever the fuck it is but this song is good I kind of dig it.
Yep, and moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey, look at that, Boldy James again, and the Alchemist again.
So as you may not notice from last year. My number one album that year was Boldy James and Alchemist, The Price of Tea in China, which is a damn good album. They got another project coming out next month. In fact, the 13th of August. And it's titled the Bo Jackson LP. Which, okay, I think it makes sense now considering he keep on saying Bo Jackson a lot in most of the songs. You got a single called First 48 Freestyle. And no, it's not about Anatope. I kind of wish it was.
I would be surprised if this album had a guest feature from George Gameface.
Oh, stay tuned for more on that, children.
Yeah, podcast ONA.
All right. Anyway, song got the great Alchemist style. We just got Boldy James do his you know go his with the gritty bars, gritty bars. But they sound so good on this production. Which, there ain't much to say about this track because what this kind of is really good. I am just for more of this because after being impressed with him with his content for the past year with what we released that year and there was a lot he released that year. I gotta say this track is a good starter track to see what we can end to. Get with it next month though.
Yep. And moving on to the next track here. So, Zeeland Orador is in the middle of releasing, you know, new material for a potential new album. We don't really have a title or release date yet, but we've had one song out already, and now we have the second single here called Erase, which opens up with these very ominous, you know, acoustics before segueing into some particularly meaty chugs and grooves that hold pretty steady throughout the song. Of course, it adds some really unnerving, you know, squealing leads over top partway through just to add, like, a sense of menace and tension, you know, really setting off the anxiety in the brain when you listen to it. Eventually, the riff does switch up a bit halfway through to kind of mix things up a little bit. And, of course, with the myriad of vocals, both, you know, sung and very, very heavy and screamed, it makes for a solidly heavy jam. Maybe not as menacing and discomforting as Run was, but I'm still intrigued to hear a New Zeeland Orator project.
Yeah, well, this sure is a very heavy barrage here. It's just 4 minutes of straightforward metal riffage, and that's always a fun time. Chunky riffs, syncopated drum grooves, and some dissonant accents to add to the frantic nature. Well done, lads. Well done. I like this. Very good.
Yep, and since Zealand Ardor was once a alumnus of the Adult Swim Singles program, now is time for us to move on to the past week's entry into the 2021 to 2022 Adult Swim Singles program. This being song number 12 from a Kenyan music duo named Duma. We have a song from them called Mambo Yagizani, and yeah, this is absolute noise. Just pure, you know, concentrated noise. There's some kind of, like, I think it's almost like a blown-out vacuum that's making sounds. I don't really know what the instrumentation there is. Kind of burying everything else submit within it, like this kind of discordant, pummeling percussion. Some vague wind chimes all the way off in the background in the mix. Lots of growls and breeze and other sundry kinds of extreme metal-type vocals. The only line I really understood in the entire song was, and I'm pretty sure I wrote this down wrong, but fuck it, don't like it, suck on my distortion, or something like that. Which, you know, definitely sounds like something that a noise band would say, alright? I'm not entirely sure what to make of this. Like, even as a guy who has a stronger tolerance for noise, compared to literally everyone else I know in this immediate vicinity, I don't know, maybe if I knew more about the band, I'd be able to properly contextualize it, but man, it is what it is.
Loud. Very loud, very ominous, very booming, very heavy, but in a different way compared to Zealand Ardor. Not totally sure how I feel about it wholesale, but it's unique. I'll give it that much.
Yep, it certainly is. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So have you all heard that Between the Buried and Me are apparently doing a fucking Colors sequel? Yeah.
Yeah!
August 20th, Colors Goddamn 2, the surprise sequel of the year. Man, I thought this year... I thought this was gonna be, like, a little bit easy to, you know, choose year-end best ofs, but it looks like the back year is piling up with shit. We have the Spirit Box debut, we have Colors 2 coming out, apparently Rivers of Nile is also dropping some shit. Goddamn, just all of this coming out of nowhere. This is going to be a tough year-end thing. But, yeah, we have the second single from Colors 2 titled Revolution in Limbo, and it comes right out of the gate as you would expect with plenty of instrumental show-offing with those, you know, very intricate drums, those dense up guitar melodies, riffs, and interplay. The song ping-pongs back and forth between its, you know, heavier sections and these kind of acoustic-tinged, echo-laid melodic sections, usually marked by the usage of the lyrics over and over, day in and day out, which, strangely enough, I'm fairly certain is a callback, not necessarily to Colors, but from the two-part Parallax Suite, because those were lyrics that showed up a lot on those album songs as a recurring motif. And, yeah, of course, about 5 minutes in, there's the weirder part, this kind of, you know, breezy, sort of jazz fusion lounge bridge amidst the melodic and the heavy, just all around BT Bam showing off what they do best, and, yeah, still can't believe Colors 2. Fucking, we're less than a month away. Holy shit.
Yeah, absolutely wild. This kind of prog metal puts a smile on my face, doubly so since this goes places with its really heavy grooves, tight guitar work, that Latin-infused break session, and flippin' Blake Richardson on drums doing corpse grinder growls. Where did that come from?
I do not fucking know, but that is some A-plus shit right there.
Yeah. I've heard it that this is like a really solid blend of older BT Bam stuff crossed with the newer stuff. I can kind of hear that. There are some elements from Parallax and even Coma Ecliptic I'm picking up in the track, along with that really weird, you know, Latin break section. Oh, next month is going to be fine indeed.
And now, moving on to the next track here. So, last we heard from any of the guys in Coheed and Cambria, apparently, Claudio Sanchez helped write a sequel to Jesse's Girl. I still can't believe that's a thing that happened. What the fuck? I don't understand the music industry anymore. But anyway, now it seems that the band proper is back. Not sure if there's any new album in the works, but we do have a brand new track from them here called Shoulders. And, well, it certainly got my attention at first, mostly because the riffing here and songwriting feels like it's going for a bit more immediate and heavy of a thing than some of their other recent material. Mostly the guitar having a very, you know, aggressively saturated, overdriven tone, its style of riffing, and the vocals having a tiny bit more heft than they usually do in the verses. Although once you get to that chorus, it is very quintessentially Coheed, even with the guitar overdrive fully intact. It's okay for what it is. Like, it's not the best I've ever heard, but I liked it more than whatever the heck that last album was. It's just, I can't tell what it is, but there's some signal that riff is setting off in my head that's like, something about this sounds suspicious.
Well, this is definitely a Coheed and Cambria take on mainstream rock. There's nothing inherently wrong with this. It's got some heavy riffs and a solid structure to it, but I don't know. This song just feels like it exists, and that's it. Not much to go beyond that. No real emotions being invoked here. It's a song that exists, and who knows if this is going to lead to something. We don't know. They probably don't know.
Yeah. We'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, a while back, there was a big mystery countdown thing coming out of the camp of Top Dog Entertainment, and when that hit zero, it was an announcement of new material from rapper Isaiah Rashad. What's been going on with that, by the way? I almost completely forgot that was happening.
Yeah, what's going on with TDE since I don't know the name is going to accept this, but yeah, we got a third single from Isaiah Rashad. Apparently, we missed a second one. I think it's called Headshots for the Locals. I think we missed that one. Those are for me. What I'm coming out this Friday. The House is Burning, and it features and it features guest verse from Dochi and Kyle Banks with What You Seed. Yes, that's how it's pronounced. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a southern thing, kind of a black southern thing, but I don't know. But yeah, like mostly like most Isaiah track. Isaiah Rashad tracks. This does have a very smooth, low key vibe going on. It's basically kind of like a party song, but more of just bump, but it's more like a relaxed type with this song. But yeah, this is like what I usually hear from him. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not bad. It's like, it's not out of ordinary. Isaiah's verse is alright. It's alright. The chorus from Kyle Banks is kind of decent. I guess whatever Dochi was, they did it alright too. But yeah, I'll say it's alright, but not one that's remarkable. Or at least that's kind of not one that took my breath away, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it is what it is, I guess. Although now there's two additional very ridiculous rap names that I am now aware of. Who knows, you might see them on the lower tiers of Rolling Loud eventually. Yeah, Dochi and Cal Banks, right next to Midsize Sedan. Ah, God, M. Night. But anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, as we all know, Lorde has finally announced that she is releasing her third full-length album soon, another August 20th release titled Solar Power. We had a taste of the album with the lead-off title track, and now we have single number two here, titled Stoned at the Nail Salon. That is a very descriptive title. And compared to the, you know, relatively brighter pop tones of the lead single, this one is a lot more of a melancholic kind of acoustic folk ballad. Lyrically, it's much about, it's kind of about this, that weird period between, like, you know, her album promotional cycle, you know, the releasing of songs, the tours and the promotion, and then the time afterwards when you literally have, like, nothing to do and you're just trying to relax, and the kind of anxiety she feels in that weird kind of liminal space where you're like, you know, maybe you feel anxiety because you're not as productive as you think you have to be, or once you actually get a break from all the, you know, touring life and everything, you have to catch up on a bunch of, you know, personal stuff you missed, any friends and family, all the stuff that was going on with them while you were out on the road, and how it feels like all that's leaving you behind. It's an appropriately, you know, melancholic, somber track. Lorde, you know, performs and sings it fairly well and makes for an interesting contrast to where the first single, you know, was, to the point where I can't say I'm entirely sure what the bigger picture of the album will be two tracks in. Maybe we'll get a third song that clarifies things eventually, but yeah, this is an interesting song. I'm definitely interested to hear this album.
Okay, me on the first listen. Is this Jack Antonoff's work? I look. Yep, this is Jack Antonoff's work.
Take a drink, friends.
Good gig if you can get it, I guess. But and I'm hearing him way too much lately. Like, there's got to be some other producer out there that does this kind of music, right?
I guess we just want to work with. I want to work with him because he's, well, I guess I'm not a creep from what I heard.
No, he's just been in demand, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe got so all the stuff from Lorde and Taylor Swift, and I think he's been working with Lana Del Rey. I'm not entirely sure, but good gig if you can get it, I guess.
Yeah, is what it is. Anyway, moving on to the last of the new singles here. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, all hail our gay-as-fuck shitpost rap meme lord, Lil Nas X has even more new material to bestow upon us. Not only do we have a new single from the man, but apparently potential news of an impending debut full-length album, appropriately enough titled Montero. No word of a release date yet, but, you know, he'll put it out when he puts it out, I suppose. So, we have the latest single from this bestower of great memes titled Industry Baby, featuring guest vocals from Jack Harlow. And immediately, it opens up with, like, this just really killer beat, taking those typical, you know, modern trap percussion and overlaying it with huge-sounding brass horns, which is... it's just that sweet spot for me. Brass over top hip-hop beats is a trend that never gets old. I wonder who produced this beat. Hang on, let me see the credits here.
What?
It's you, Kanye.
Oh, wait, what? Wait.
Oh.
That was him?
Well, partly.
Technically speaking, Kanye West and Take a Day Trip.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not.
Those two working on it.
I didn't look up this, like, shit, I didn't even. Okay.
Surprising mark here, that's always fun. But yeah, moving on. As applied by the title, the song is all about Lil Nas X, you know, boasting about his rise to prominence and, you know, the grind to success in the face of all the odds, all the controversies, people bitching about his sexuality, people claiming he's just a one-hit wonder because of Old Town Road, shoving his success in everyone's faces, Harlow's verse, you know, following along a similar bent. And, of course, the music video is very gay as fuck in a prison with people wearing bright pink, you know, pajama pants and doing all that incredibly not straight shit. God bless you, sir, for your, you know, in-your-face attitude. And can we please get a release date? I need to clear my calendar for reasons.
Okay, so I don't think I was surprised that this is, but no, Take a Day Trip and Kanye, because I, because I didn't do much research on this shit. Yeah, this is putting on the right track. Whether or not it's going going as he does, and being, you know, being as him as he can be, because holy fuck, this just over it's not like him as a judge, just as a judge, like Little Ross actually going to jail. Like, what the fuck did he do? And then, of course, you got all, you know, and, you know, everybody wearing pink shit, everybody either, you know, like, naked, like, butt fucking naked. okay. if other people come with one hit wonder, then you got two, then you got another hit with Panini, and then, of course, the other previous one, ain't no one, he's not one hit wonder, he's just like,
The other top hit is Montero, by the way. By the way, the whole stuff about, you know, going to jail. Remember the Nike shoes? That whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was in reference to. And, yeah, this song here is just a total flex, and I'm here for it, both the song and the video, which is just very much Chef's Kiss fantastic. Kind of weird that Jack Harlow got to debut the song first, because he was at Rolling Loud last weekend, but whatever. And now please shut the fuck up, everyone. The baby. T.I.
Yes, for the love of God, please shut up.
Nobody wants to hear it.
Just
it
stop
costs
talking.
Nothing to not be an asshole.
Sometimes shutting the fuck up is a good thing. You ain't do that more often.
Yeah. But that about does it for the new song discussions. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some actual news to discuss for once, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, first up on the news docket for today, I swear to fucking God, this goddamn Delta variant is going to be the death of all of us.
Blame all the people who choose not to get clean.
Yeah, just there's no reasoning with the unreasonable, you know.
I got a sequel to this. Now I got a sequel to this shit.
Yeah, Coronavirus 2, I guess, or Coronavirus Deluxe Edition. Just the last thing we all need. Especially since a lot of people seem to be optimistic that things will get better to the point of all the festivals happening, including Lollapalooza, blah blah blah, or something, happening this weekend, July 29th to August 1st at Chicago Grant Park. Yeah, that's totally not going to be cause for concern.
Yeah.
But thankfully, there is an alternative for those of you that either A, couldn't buy tickets, or B, doesn't want to gamble with the Grim Reaper. Apparently, Lollapalooza this year will be live streaming on Hulu. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, and what do you know? I mentioned I bought Hulu, so fuck you. Well. Oh, got that. At least I got that.
I mean, sure. Why not? I mean, we've come a long way from the days of Woodstock on pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very anesthetical concept from the very start.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Why not? May as well fling it on, because I mean, what else are you going to watch? The Olympics? All the stuff's happening overnight anyway. You're not going to miss a thing in the middle of the day.
Yeah, but that means I could potentially miss someone getting hit in the nuts while skateboarding.
And people say it's not an Olympic sport. Just as a reminder, things that are Olympic sports: table tennis, equestrian, pew-pew shoot gun. Those are Olympic sports, but let the skateboarders have their moment in the sun. They've worked their whole lives for this moment, and we should be thankful that it exists as an Olympic sport.
Yeah. So, yeah, for those of you who want to see, you know, performances from the likes of, you know, Tyler the Creator, Megan Thee Stallion, Post Malone, Shut the Fuck Up to Baby, Limp Bizkit, there you go. You can live stream that shit on Hulu.
I mean, they're getting that Disney money, which I guess it's a good thing. Just like Billie Eilish is, because she's got a thing on Disney Plus coming out in September.
Yeah, that was like Disney Plus.
Apparently, yeah, so
September 3rd.
Okay, that's kind of strange. Like, here, show Disney Plus.
Apple TV first, Disney Plus next. She's playing multiple sides of the field. Anyway, so, yeah, I assume some of you will look forward to that. But moving on to the next story here. Since we already name-dropped him during the Lil Nas X segment, guess we gotta check in on what's happening with fucking Kanye.
Patches. Lots and lots of patches.
So, remember how last week we kind of say, hold on, release nothing next week, and somehow in that week, Kanye announced Donda. And yet, it's not anywhere. It ain't.
Okay, here's the timeline of events that happened. Last week, we got the official announcement that this was going to be a thing. It was going to drop on Friday. On Thursday, he held a listening party at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, which was broadcast live through Apple Music. I didn't watch it, but I'm sure some people did. I'm sure they liked it, you know, whatever. And the album was supposed to drop on Friday. It didn't.
Wait, hang on. So, he did host a listening party that was live-streamed.
Yes.
But the album did not come out.
No.
What the fuck were they listening to then?
I have no idea. But, yeah, maybe it's going to be like that last album he did where he had to patch it because it was incomplete.
Oh, God, he's really out here making Cyberpunk 2077.
Only minus from the Jewels or Keanu Reeves.
There will be just as much penis flashing, though, I assure you. But, I assume there was more to the timeline than that?
Yes. Because we had heard that he was also going to make a then unannounced appearance at Rolling Loud in Miami on that Sunday night, presumably as the final headliner.
Oh God, was and that then a cursed?
He pulled out.
Oh God, was that a cursed fucking weekend?
Hell.
First off, the stage collapsed. Then SmackDown happened, but you wouldn't know it by the crowd reactions.
There was also a performance that wasn't on the live stream because of some intervention from Roc Nation for some stupid reason. Also, there were shoes being thrown on stage. What in the hell is going on in Miami that I need to know about?
Dude, I stopped trying to figure it out years ago. Maybe there's like meth in it. It could be meth in the water. Could be bath salts. Could be some new drug we're not aware of.
Ugh.
But, yeah, then Kanye didn't show up, because apparently he, didn't he, like, hold himself up somewhere to, like, you know...
He, according to him and people around him, he built a studio in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta to continue working on this. He was actually at an Atlanta United soccer game this past weekend, I guess just to take some time away from the studio for whatever the hell this is. He's taking the divorce really well, if you can tell.
I do not understand how this man's mind works anymore.
I don't think he does either. Like, he's been on a trip the last couple of years.
Yeah. So, you know, If you're the holdout that still gives a shit for some reason, maybe Donda happens for you. More than likely it doesn't.
At this point in time, they are saying it will be dropping in 2 weeks, in August, somewhere along those lines. I'm not entirely sure.
Yes, that's what I heard. Although I heard he can ask the Jay-Z on a track or something, or I don't know. If they get put a T on there somewhere, I don't fucking know. I'm just hearing shit I heard from Twitter. But who the fuck knows? Can I get Lewis and Jesus King? Fuck if I know.
I do not know, and I don't entirely care anymore. If I ever cared. But speaking of not caring about things, so apparently we completely skipped over the XXL 2021 freshman class ciphers last week.
Yeah, but can you blame us?
Yeah, I listened to all of them, like, in the prep for this episode, and I ain't got a damn thing to say about damn near any of them.
We pretty much like got, well, at least, how do I put this lightly, once again, there isn't much of a highlight or much of a funny low light. It's like, okay, the first type of guy here is from, let's see, DDG, Lakia, Moray, and Coiler, and Coleray. And what I got from it is, well, DDG, he did okay. Lakia, she does her thing. Moray does his more, you know, move around rap singing shit. And Coleray twerks for some reason.
The only comments I have here are, there's that line where Moray is like, people talk about toilet bowls, bitch, I'm shitting. But the way he enunciates that line, I'm not sure if he's saying bowls or balls. What the fuck are toilet balls? Is that like truck nuts for your toilet? Oh my god, someone's probably made that somewhere. I just realized.
I don't know. At least it's something aside, because something other than what the hell heard from Cola Ray, which I heard her voice, and was like, nah, she's not that good. And then look at, she was kind of squeaky.
Coila Ray kind of sounds like the poor man's Doja Cat. And Doja Cat is already the poor man's Doja Cat. But anyway, what was the next batch after that?
Next batch is, Tusi and Blast. It sounded like a whole song. Right? It's not like a whole song. It sounded like, I think Tusi is the one afterward tell us about. One mentioned somebody named Miss Parker, which I guess might be a Friday reference. I don't know. Like, he told his own story about some shit. Which, okay, all right. I mean, it's just two of them. It's like, whatever. Can you see me? If you got nothing weird to say or interesting to say? I'm stumbling. Trying to think something good. Like, I don't mean. I guess they're in the Tootsie's verse. He's something about you know his cousin coming out now and I love him the same. Which, okay, I get that and some other shit. I don't know. It just seems kind of unremarkable. I don't know.
Yeah, this is just kind of basic. Even Blast's whole thing is just like some straightforward rags to riches type shit.
Yeah. And then last but not least, maybe medium. We got Pooh Shiesty, Flo Milli, 42 Doug, and Ruby Rose. Okay. I'll go with a Flo Milli first, because she's from my state. And we're like, okay, she starts out, get this pussy in your face. Okay, that's kind of wild. I mean, at least it's something. I mean, it mostly comes out of like the usual bad bitch kind of thing, which I mean, it's something, but I'm not gonna say it's all. It's like it's there. I mean, it Ruby Rose, she does some shit. I don't know. And then I didn't even give a shit about most from Pooh Shicey or 42 Doug, which he got the shortest. He got the shortest verse, which kind of like, oh, he was there too, I guess.
Yeah, that 42 Doug was filler as fuck. And I gotta mention one line from Flo Milli here that I just revulsed at. I'm the type to make my sugar daddy pull his teeth out. Ew!
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about some fucking crusty ass grandpa with his, you know, like gums out doing. Why is he pulling his teeth out for what? What's gonna happen after that? Actually, never mind. I don't want to think about that further. Gross.
Yeah. So that came and went, and wow, do you see why we kind of forgot to do this shit? There wasn't much highlights to go by. I mean, I have to go by, and he had this funny low lights, but not even funny low lights. It's not like anything you heard from Little Mosey's verse from Little Mosey's cipher from 2 years ago or whatever that Tristan Tassian did, like, the year, like, 2 years, or at least the year before that, or 2 years before that. But, yeah, I mean, we're not gonna say they're not gonna be good rappers. I mean, I think maybe they might be good, depending on what's going on in their future, but I don't know. What we got here is just kind of like, maybe, I guess the whole XXL cyber hype kind of wore out a long time ago.
Or this is just like a really unmemorable crop. I'm leaning towards the latter.
That too. That too. Cause...
Yeah. But at least that obligation's taken care of, so we can now move on. Yeah, the last thing we have to touch on here, at the very least, are the new album releases for the week of July 30th, 2021, which... once again, is not really much, but there's at least some stuff here. Well, I say some, it's really more like a few. So, first up, we have a new motion picture soundtrack courtesy of Ryuichi Sakamoto for a film called Minamata. There is, of course, as previously mentioned, the new Isaiah Rashad album, The House is Burning. And last but certainly not least, the second full-length album from Billie Eilish with Happier Than Ever. Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
As always, or of Azure, where I just talk about random stuff sometimes. I really want that Dream Theater album announcement. Make it happen, guys. Please make it happen, unless it's already happened by now. I'm not entirely sure how time works anymore.
Mark, what about you?
I'm on Twitter at MattTimeMedia, where I talk about if you're gonna make French fries to me $200, they better put me in the Instacart. I better get Instacart some shit. Yeah, that's just fucking dumb. Okay, and also my site, hyperwordpress.com. I finally put up Trap Gang episode 10, the final episode of season 2, which good because I'm glad I finished it because I should have finished it last year, but last year kind of got me all fucked up. But I'm just glad to finish the project.
Yep. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Be sure to, email me, Robert@CerebroResolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel, so subscribe and hit the bell tab so you can be always notified whenever, you know, anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuroRezzo, like us on Facebook, visit the website SuroResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast ONA, and all that other good shit. Be sure to jump into our Discord so you can join in the pro wrestling RPG discourse, because there's always some kind of discourse. And, of course, a shout-out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. So, until next time, for the love of God, Tommy Vexed, please shut up.